Welcome to another episode of Growth Hacker TV. I'm Bronson Taylor, and today I have Dmitry Dragilev with us. Dmitry, thanks for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Absolutely. Now, Dmitry, you are a serious growth hacker. 2 years ago, you joined the team at Polar, and you helped them grow and scale. And since then, one out of every 449 internet users has used your tool, and you all were acquired by Google just 2 years after funding. So you have serious growth chops, and I know you have a lot to share with us, and you actually have kind of a top 10 growth hacks thing that you've put together that we're going to work through. But before we get into all that awesome stuff, I want you to tell our people about your company, JustReachOut.io, because I actually think this product is something that the viewers of Growth Hacker TV should use and would love to use. So tell us about Just Reach Out for a second.
Yeah, so, well, yeah, about 10 years ago or so, I drove cross country to Silicon Valley in hopes of finding a job at a startup. And I quit my high-paying software developer job. And, you know, I drove cross country and I couldn't get a gig because I had no marketing chops at all because I was a software developer back then. And I started walking around saying, look, startups need press coverage. They also need to be writing guest articles, and they also need to be on a daily basis giving infographics, data, and stuff like that to journalists who want that stuff. Journalists seek that stuff. They want somebody to be their assistant. And so there's no easy way for startups to do that and also entrepreneurs to do that. And so they have to hire these PR agencies that cost tens of thousands of dollars. And it's just preposterous. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. You can build a product, but you can't email a journalist. It's just insane. And so I decided to create a script that basically goes, crawls LinkedIn, Twitter, and Google and tells you who you need to contact because they are seeking your type of expertise, your type of information, whatever you may have to share with them. It could be a piece of data that you might have. It could be an infographic. It could be something. Mm-hmm. So we actually learn a whole bunch about you as an entrepreneur, and then we learn a whole bunch more about journalists, influencers, and bloggers. And so immediately, I got my first gig within like a day or two showing that script to a startup. They're like, yeah, we wanna use this thing, and can you help us run it? And so I just used that script pretty much for all my, growth hacking and onward. So mm-hmm. The last 10 years, I've worked with tons of startups. Some of them, two of them actually were acquired. One kind of early on, 2008, and this one quite recently, a couple years ago. Basically, Just Reach Out helps you find journalists and influencers that are looking to write about you and contact them and build a relationship with them. It also gives you kind of the best pitch angles to use, gives you all the best information to use in terms of who they are, what kind of stuff do they like day to day. We use machine learning to kind of connect the two. So
yeah, I can already tell you the quote of the episode is, you can build a product, but you can't email a journalist? That's insane. I mean, it's true.
Yeah, it's
though.
Just insane. It's
true.
It's just crazy. Like, I thought it was insane. Like 10 years ago, at PR agencies, like, they cost so much money, $5,000-$10,000. It's not you who's reaching out. It's like somebody who's doing it on behalf of you. Mm-hmm. They don't know you that well. Like, so just, you need an easy tool to do all this outreach for you. And you don't really want to bother with, doing all the research, all the heavy lifting. You just want it to just go.
And no, so that's, I think it's a great
tool. Genesis for Just Reaching.
Yeah, I think it's a great tool. I think people are definitely going to use it that are watching the show. All right, let's jump into some growth hacks. This is what people want to hear. So let's start with the first one. Hack number one, how you took a startup from 0 to 40 million page views. So what was the hack you did to do that?
So it was basically, the startup itself was a polling software startup, which is kind of a boring sort of, there's tons of polling software startups out there. But the idea was that, look at Tech Meme and look at the hottest breaking news and try and figure out what type of polls will work really well in those articles and try and get those polls into those articles somehow, either a link or an embed of that poll. And by that sort of methodology, you're kind of gaining exposure for your software platform because people see your logo inside the poll or it's quoted. And then people come over to your website and they want to do the same. Now, for publishers, it means more time spent on their website if it's embedded because people end up reading the article and actually start voting on it. And for them, they might actually put custom actions on the poll itself, so they might be able to click over to another
So would
page.
they add
And
the
so,
poll after the article had already been released? They would go back and
yeah,
insert the poll?
so the minute that it's released, we were there scouting the web, trying to find
Mm-hmm.
what is that article. So iOS 6 versus 7, we had a whole icon by icon poll set, like people comparing which icons they like, and we actually found people loved iOS 7 better than iOS 6, which was at the time a big deal because people were booing iOS 7. They were saying it looks like Microsoft and people were not that happy with it. This was a while ago. When PS4 came out with Xbox, that was a big battle too. People were going back and forth, so we had polls in there. The CFO of PlayStation actually quoted our poll saying people prefer PlayStation over Xbox. It was kind of funny because, like, it was during an earnings call and the information went out. But we would put these polls in any article we can by contacting journalists and saying, look, we created a poll for you. We know that on average you'll spend a minute or 30 seconds per user spending on that article. Would you like to have that? Would you like to just add this poll in? And if they didn't want to add it in, we already had some data on the poll. We said, hey, well, just quote it. Just quote it and link up to it. And so that was sort of the easiest way to go around it. If none of that worked out, then we would just comment on the article with a link to the poll saying, here's what we found out about this topic. And it could be anything. It could be your reaction on Snapchat being acquired by Facebook, or could be some other news that was breaking. We had a poll on everything, all the launches, Galaxy, and so forth. Every piece of news that was tech that was hot, we had a poll on it. And publishers really saw, like, we tailored the tool to actually geared towards them. We're like, here's how much more time people are spending on your website. That's like ad dollars right there. So it really meant sense made sense to them. And we just kicked it in overdrive, just tons and tons and tons of pitching, tons and tons of more polls, more and more page views, and people want to add this to their page now. We had examples on our homepage saying, look, here's how it looks on MLB, here's how it looks on 17 magazine, here's. So we started putting these things afterwards, not in just articles, but also in the side, sort of like in the bar, on the sidebar, like you've probably seen on the home pages and stuff. And that just kicked up
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, hack number
even
two.
more, but mainly using just reach out. I did that a lot throughout the process, just.
No, that's awesome. All right,
Yep, go
hack number
ahead.
two. Yeah,
Hack
we're
number
breaking up a
two.
little bit here. We'll pull it back together. How to get 60 leads in 24 hours with LinkedIn and a landing page. What's the process there?
Yeah, so it's pretty simple. What I do a lot is I do actually a lot of LinkedIn scraping, and there's another like a number of cool little tools that I use, which we can talk about later, that I do sort of lead generation with. So it actually goes through, like, say, communication and PR, and I want everybody who is communication PR guru, because I'm going to be sending a cold email to them. And so it's a scraper tool that gets their email, their name, and everything else about them, puts it in an Excel sheet, and it just sits there and scrapes LinkedIn until it's got 500, 1,000 leads like that. So the idea here was simple in the sense that we wanted a piece of content that would attract people to us first, and then we would try and sell them on our service offering. And so what we created is we actually had a pretty decent article that was written for CIOs, and that's our target demographic. And so we took that article and turned it into a white paper. And we said, look, we'll give you sort of like the lead-in on that white paper, but in order to get the rest of it, you got to give us your email address. We created a little website which basically talked all about this white paper and what it has in it. And it said, look, if you want to download this white paper, here are the benefits, and just give us your email, we'll give it to you. So we put that together, and then what we said is, I went to a CIO sort of group, the biggest CIO group on LinkedIn, and we sort of like made a deal with them. We said, look, we'll have this new white paper, and we'd love to for your audience to get access to it first, and if you can sort of like share it with them, we'd we appreciate it. In return, we can sort of promote it to our network and get you more CIO members. So we had our own sort of previous customers would say, look, we'll get them to join your group and produce interesting content for you. So they said, okay, we can do that. And so, you know, there's like 300,000 or something people on this group. Wow. And they had an email that went out to everybody with this white paper website. And so we had a bunch of CIOs that opted in to read the white paper. And they actually reacted to it and they sent us some emails. And then we followed up each and every one of them saying, look, we see that you guys are doing X and we're doing X. This might be a potential, you know, conversation starter. Are you at all interested in talking about it? But the idea was just get a piece of content together that really, really engages these people and put it in front of them somehow and try and get their email addresses that way. So looking at the CIO group, we were part of that CIO group. We could have used a scraper to try and just scrape the group and just get us the email addresses for each and every one of them, which is one way to do it. It's a big cold email database, like 300,000 people. You're going to start emailing them. You're probably going to get some of these responding to you. But this way, we had 24 hours and we wanted 60 leads. And so, you know, the quicker way was just to share a white paper, have a bunch of people self opt in into getting this white paper. You're reading the white paper by us, so that's already a connection with us. And then they might react at the end of the white paper. And those people who did react ended up actually becoming potential leads for the business.
Awesome. I love it. All right, hack number three, how to go from 700 to 3,000 email subscribers in 2 months. What'd you do there?
So there was a lot of it. Brian from Video Fruit, Brian Harris, I used a lot of his sort of hacks. So Noah Kagan and Brian Harris are like really good friends of mine. And we were just catching up with Noah a month ago here in New York. And I helped AppSumo kind of get going some of the first deals they were doing. But they sort of turned me on to this idea of, hey, you collect emails of everybody who comes to your website. And my website never sort of, it was a generic sort of like, here, want some growth hacking consulting? Contact me. Here's what I've done. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that, you know, 97% of people who came to my site just left. Like they checked it out. They read the stuff. They read my blog and they just left. And so I said, look, I kind of want like 25% of people to leave me their email address. And so what I ended up doing is putting sort of opt-ins for sort of lead magnet opt-ins on all my content, all my pages. And I turned my entire website into a blog. And every page has this like capability of grabbing somebody's email address in exchange for a lead magnet. Lead magnet is basically any type of an asset. It could be a PDF, a white paper. It could be templates, email templates, best cold email templates that work for me. It could be a discount code from one of my courses. It could be a free course that I'm offering. But whatever it may be, it's a free, and it's sort of an opt-in. And so the idea was try and get 25% of all my traffic to opt-in. So that drove some traffic and some conversions into email subscribers. But to push it and pick it into an overdrive, what I did is I did a giveaway, which was a giveaway of pretty much my service, my Just Reach Out, and also my courses, and also a year of my consulting for free. And the way the giveaway works is everybody who opts in, to increase their chances of winning it, they need to refer 3 people in. And if they refer 3 people in, they get 3 more points, and they get, you know, bumped up in chances. And so the giveaway itself, you know, drives a lot of email subscribers. People are very incentivized and they want the prize. And so what ended up happening is, you know, a big bulk, like 1,500 people of those 3,000 probably came from a giveaway that I ran that just started off the end. And what I ended up doing is I ended up partnering with The Hustle, which is a magazine, online magazine. They kind of partner and they promote it through their user base and I promote it through mine. And so I got even more people onto that email list. So I'd say giveaway was sort of the best approach, but the more sort of it was a quick one, right? And then the more sustainable long-term one was sort of putting lead magnets on all your pages and all your content. So if you're writing a blog, a post, make sure you kind of think through, you know, what is going to, which calls to action are going to be doing in there? What are you going to be giving away? Is it like some kind of template? Is it something that's very actionable for people who are reading your and want to know more about? So it, and on average, 25% of people who come to any of my pages end up giving me their email. So,
so it's working. Hit your goal. That's pretty cool. I love it. All right, hack number four: how to launch an online course and make $220,000 in 10 days. Yeah, how do you do that?
Well, Brian Harris was kind of like the some of the inspiration for that one. I spent a lot of time building the course, of course, and the idea was that, look, you have a blog, and a lot of times you don't know how to monetize that blog. You have a bunch of content, and you don't really know how to monetize that content. For example, you know, you guys have a great monetization platform there with Growth Hacker TV. People want access to these interviews, and they end up paying. But if you wanted to create a course out of all this, you can kind of survey and try and understand in terms of analytics, what is the content that's most sought after in terms of all your episodes? And what is on your blog, if you had a blog dedicated that's just the not non-video podcast, but mainly just writing the blog posts, if you had just textual content, which are the pages that are most visited, most spent, most pages that are, have the most time spent on them? And once you identify those pages, that's an indication of the content that your audience is seeking and wants the most. Mm-hmm. Because that's the case, you can start putting together a course around that topic. You can do a lot more surveying of the of your audience, but that gives you a pretty good indication of what it may be. And so from that, you start creating a course. And as you're creating, validating it with the audience who are reading your stuff, consuming it, make sure that you're on the ball with that, that the content really suits what they want. Mm-hmm. You create one version of the course, which is completely free, which you give away. And you create another one, which is a paid version. And then you pay another one, which is like the premier, top tier, professional tier one. So it's sort of like a natural upgrade path. Then you have your email subscribers, so you have your 3,000 subscribers, which we talked about before, and you launch the free course to them. You make sure that it's designed in a way where the natural upgrade path from the free one to the middle tier to the top tier. So they get a little information with the free one, but they want more, and so they upgrade and they get another one, and then they upgrade and they do another one. To power that up, because you only have 3,000 members, say, right? You create an affiliate program with bloggers who have email lists who want to earn a little money. Mm-hmm. And you say, look, email for me and I will give you some money for it. So you guys are pretty familiar with it in your other ventures. But, I mean, it works really simply. It's like people have email lists and they have blogs and they have no time to dedicate to how to monetize those email lists. Mm-hmm. One way is to create a whole video course like we're talking about now, but it requires a lot of time and effort. If I could send an email out to my email list and make a few $100 or make a few $1,000 and not do a thing, I might do that because I'm busy. And so it's a matter of just finding people that do that, and there's a whole bunch of tools that can help you do that. But you know, to sell your course, you need a successful affiliate program that is pretty simple to set up. It's just you contact people who have these lists and you talk to them and see if they'll email for you for this course. What I recommend doing is you do a webinar with them, with that audience first. Mm-hmm. The audience gets to know you better. You sort of take everything that you have in your course and you sort of talk about it during that webinar. And then afterwards, you sell the course with them, and your own audience as well. You have your own audience, your email list of your own audience. Mm-hmm. You know, you may do some advertising where you sort of take two or three episodes, or not episodes, but like two or three portions or parts of your course, and you just put it up on Facebook, and you give it away for free. A lot of people do that where they sort of find a lookalike audience on people who visited their website. So like you're doing a retargeting lookalike audience type of a campaign, and you're using native Facebook video of your own course, and you just take like a quarter of your course, put it up there in a sequenced manner where if they watched one, they would see the other part and another one, another one, only if they've seen the ones before. And now you're essentially giving away part of your course for free, a taste of it. And at the end of it, you always say, oh, it's an ad basically. And you know, if you want the full thing, go ahead and buy it. And so that's just one way to kind of improve that. But all those activities, you know, affiliate marketing, where affiliate program where a bunch of bloggers email for you for the course, this type of Facebook advertising, your own email list is how you're going to sort of promote the course. And to make it, you know, you got to analyze and make sure that you the content that is most consumed on your website, your blog, your podcast is what you focus on your course about.
Yeah, it's all about the
Get some
data.
feedback on it. Yeah, so
That's
that's
awesome,
the
man.
gist of it.
All right,
Yeah.
hack number five, and we're gonna speed up a little bit going through these because I want to get them all in. I don't want to leave any out. Hack number five, how I got 6.2 million page views and 144,000 followers. So how does that happen?
Well, yeah, Ali, it was kind of like the genesis for this one, and he I guess, I mean, there's a lot of things that he did in terms of PR outreach and timing it just right when he wrote the article. But there's a lot of analysis that he talks about in this article that we connected with him about. The one thing that I would say is figuring out an article that speaks to the audience of all these blogs is probably the best way to do it. So when you write in the guest article, you're always trying to think, what is my launch plan going to be? And so in his case, it was a topic that was highly sought after, but was most of information that was ranking high on Google for that topic was rather dated. And so what he did is he sort of wrote an article, and then he knew who's linked to previous articles in a similar fashion or similar type of articles. So he knew who to go to get some initial juice and promotion out of it. What he did a lot of is reposting. So he contacted a lot of big publications and asked them to repost their article, which worked really, really, really well for him. His promotional plan was just an outstanding promotional plan in terms of getting this guest article featured on a whole bunch of other publications and so forth. But yeah, it's a lot to delve into just in a small set of
Well,
time here.
it's the idea of, leveraging other people's audience. It's not about building it all yourself in that one. It's about, like you said, with the affiliate and the course and the last one, about really leveraging someone else's audience and just promoting it on guest blogs. All right, hack number six, 36,000 readers and 1,000 email subscribers from one blog post.
Yeah. So that kind of delves back into the 3,000 to 7,000 hack, where it wasn't quite from one blog post in the first one. From this one, it was. And the idea is like, if a blog post is performing insanely well, your job is to optimize that blog post to get the most email subscribers out of it. And that's really important. A lot of people get, you know, they don't look at their page and see where most traffic is going to, which page specifically within your website is getting the most traffic. And that page may not be optimized to get you most leads. It might be some obscure blog post or some obscure interview you did. And so it's important to just analyze your traffic, see what is your most traffic page. And how are you optimizing that page in order? In this case, it was email subscribers, but it might be, you know, opt-ins or something else. It might be sign-ups for your service. It might be something else. But that's what I would kind of focus on is.
Kind of like what you're saying, digging into the data before creating a course. It's like digging into the data of what's already working and then working backwards to do the opt-ins on those pages that are doing well. So it's taking what information you have and then working backwards sometimes, not just always taking a stab at an unknown future.
Exactly. Just try and leverage all the sort of information you got to kind of get to your goal.
No, it's awesome. All right, hack number seven, how Udemy found their first 1,000 instructors through cold emailing.
Yeah, so cold emailing is a big deal right now. So that's what I wanted to touch back on. So a lot of times, what I do right now is I use a scraper, and I use these guys called MessageSumo. They basically you can type in communications PR, and LinkedIn gives you a search result, and it's like 700,000 people in that search result. You take that URL and you put it into the scraper tool. MessageSumo is the scraper. And so CellHack, Ryan was on the show, that they kind of do that kind of stuff, lead prospecting, right? But what I like about MessageSumo is they go and they kind of just start scraping and taking those names, finding their email address and finding their title. And so with Udemy, it's kind of the same type of deal where they needed a specific type of people, and they needed to start cold emailing them, and so that they use the tool similar to this, where they would prospect them, and they would create a prospect list. So this tool, literally, you do nothing. You put in that URL, and the thing just goes and starts scraping LinkedIn. I'm sure it'll be shut down pretty soon, but these things come and go. CellHack was shut down before too, and they kind of resurfaced. So, there's a number of tools out there. But what I love about this one, just it sits there and it does its thing, and a day it might do 200, 300 leads that are my leads. Like, these are people who actually do communications at startups, so they would buy Just Reach Out. And so when they have them in that lead, I use something called Reply app.io, which is a pretty cool service, which lets you kind of create a campaign and target that specific demographic with different variants of cold emails. And then you set up a drip campaign, basically drip, getdrip.com, or all these services are very closed.io is great services. They're all about the same. You have a stack of leads, you start setting up a drip campaign where you're trying to reach out. One thing that I would kind of do is I would try to personalize things a little more. So Brian from Video Fruit has this thing, a hack with Nerdy Data. And Nerdy Data, what it does is it actually, you give it a block of code. It tries to find all the websites with that piece of code. So, like for me, like everybody who's running HubSpot, for example, gives me an indication that, hey, they might need help with some of their blog stuff, because they're using HubSpot and they need some help. And so I might reach out and say, hey, I noticed that you've been running HubSpot, an older version. And so it's very easy for me to kind of custom target that, and sort of do a little bit more work for them. I'm IT services companies, like I tell them, hey, do a speed test on my website, and then send them a thing saying, hey, I see that your speed test kind of failed, and you're not being indexed really well. Here's what to do really quick. By the way, we're an IT services company, blah, blah, blah. So it's like that type of thing when you do cold email outreach. But yeah, cold email is a like
It
dear
works.
to my heart. Yeah, it works if it's set up correctly, and yeah, there's a whole bunch of tools out there that can help you with that.
That's awesome. All right, hack number eight, how PayPal achieves 7 to 10% daily growth and reached over 100 million users.
Yeah, well, PayPal, they did a lot of stuff. It's kind of an overused example, I guess. They've done their referral program, and a lot of their sort of initial success was due to that. But there's also just a whole bunch of things they kind of engaged in that article that I talked about, which helped sort of drive the initial spurt of use. But I think the referral program was probably some of the biggest highlight there.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. All right, hack nine, how Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn use onboarding to engage their users.
So, like, onboarding is really a big thing for Just Reach Out as well. When a user comes in, what I've seen a lot of people do is they just try and get to sell them right away. And so they would say, look, sign up, or here's the big statement, sign up. And so people might want to play. I found that most people that play around a little bit, they might kind of understand the product a little more and become much more engaged. So as an example, for Just Reach Out, we don't ask you to sign up. We get you to put in a term that describes what you do, and then we give you some journalists, and we limit the number of journalists we show you. who write about that term. And then we say, look, give us your email address. Don't sign up, but give us your email address and we'll show you the rest of these. And so people give us your email address. They get to see the whole list. Now we have their email address. Then we can tell them the day tomorrow or the day after, saying, hey, here's more journalists we found today or the day after. And then we can say, here's some of the best email templates that work for these journalists, and here's their email addresses. So that type of lead nurturing is what a lot of these companies, like you mentioned, Twitter, that they were sort of experimenting with, is how do you lead nurture somebody through a process like that, where you keep giving them more and more value, without asking anything of them or too much of them. So the concept of a lead magnet is also kind of ingrained in all this. Like, look, you're reading this content. Do you want more? Do you want templates? Do you want extras? Do you want a discount on the course? Do you want something? Give us your email, we'll give it to you, kind of thing. And then afterwards, try and sell them on the next thing, like sign up and do this. We're doing this right now with a client, which, like, we get the people to search a specific topic or something like that, and they're doing a connection tool where they let you find a relationship between somebody. So I'll let you type in, like, I want an intro to Bill Gates, and then it says, okay, click search, and then it says, all right, now to finish this process, give us your whatever. So
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Just, it's the drug dealer model. Get them hooked, give them something, and then, sell more later. And then the last hack, hack number 10, is actually kind of a collection of mini hacks, little things you can do. A lot of people know about these, but they still, help. One of them was comment on Quora, SlideShare, and blogs. So I'm assuming just comment with backlinks to your stuff all over the web, right?
I use a tool called Calibri for it, Calibri.io, and they're pretty good in terms of finding places where you should be participating. I answer all my Quora stuff, and the Quora is pretty good because they email you about the topics that you checked as an expert. So I'm checked in as a PR expert and so growth hacker and cold emailing, that kind of stuff. So anytime there's a cold emailing discussion or if there is some type of PR discussion, I get an email saying, hey, can you answer this question? And that helps me so much because when I comment on those questions, I actually get paying customers come in, use Just Reach Out because they see, what I do, and they are interested in my answers, and it's very on topic. Same, Calibri kind of does it for everything. It goes Quora and Twitter and blogs and any kind of Pinterest board, whatever it may be. If the topic is on, then it's you should be commenting on it. And so I do this daily, and I think, a lot of people in Q&A on LinkedIn and just anywhere that you think is a good area that people are talking about what you know about, you should be leaving your opinion on Reddit sometimes too.
Absolutely. And then you also say add hello bar and exit intent to your website. Again, we know about these things, but it's just, a helpful reminder. Hello bar gets you a lot of opt-ins. Exit intent brings people back in when they're trying to leave your site, and there's so much you can do there that people definitely should. Here's what I want you to touch on that I don't think a lot of people know about. Pay for Triber influences. So what is Triber?
Well, Triber is just a community where people basically share the best content between the popular bloggers, influencers share the best content between each other and their audiences. And it's takes a while to get in there and become an influencer and grow your audience, but I've been pretty successful with just having people promote my stuff on the community, which I found people on Fiverr that are just community members that promote my stuff, and I get spikes in traffic from it. I've friended a few people who are actually part of the community now that are either bloggers or influencers. Just another, like, little amplification kind of effect for your content and gets you more email subscribers.
Well, I mean, this has been awesome, Dimitri, going through all this stuff. It's one of those things, like, this is an interview where it's drinking from a fire hydrant. There's so much there. We went over a lot of different topics. We didn't go super in depth, but it gave people a lot of ideas to think about what they might want to attack for their next growth hacks. So I like doing episodes like this every once in a while, where it's just kind of like, here's 10 things to think about. And I know that if anybody listens to this episode, they're going to walk away saying, all right, I need to do hack number whatever and whatever. Like, I need to try those. Let's go see what I can make happen. I mean, even though I know about all these things, but it's like just having the conversation, I remember, oh yeah, I should do more of that one, you know? And so thanks for just going through this with us. I have two last questions for you. And these are the questions I ask everybody at the end. They're just kind of fun. The first one is, what are you working on right after this interview? Whether it's boring or awesome, as soon as you close the laptop or as soon as you turn off the video, what are you going to work on next?
I have to reach out to a couple of investors for just reach out. actually respond to two of them.
All
right. But I need to redo my deck a little bit and send it to them, basically.
Well, hey, it's good that you're responding to them. That means they wrote something to you. So as long as you got an investor writing something to you, you're in a good spot. All right. And then the second question is, what is the best advice you have for any company that is trying to grow?
I guess the best company that's trying to grow, figure out what is your metric, what is your target metric, and really set a goal where you want to be, and just pay attention to that one number. Don't get lost in all this abyss of stats and metrics. I would kind of focus on one number and one number only and just care about that going forward. Don't make it too complex. If it's, you know, paying customers, then it's paying customers. If it's number of email subscribers, it's email subscribers. But I would actually post that number and look at it every day. Like every new tab I open on my browser shows me that number, and it shows me how I'm doing reaching that number every day. So I see that number maybe 100 times a day, maybe 50 times a day.
I love that idea. I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, I use Brian Harris's plugin, actually. It's a pretty good video. Fruit has a plugin called This Goal.
I need to check that out. I haven't seen that yet. That's a good idea, though. I think about what you just said, kind of the one metric that matters. It's sort of like a sporting event. You know, you watch a basketball game. There's one metric that matters, and that's how many points you have. There's a lot of other stats that you can look at, rebounds, you know, assists, steals, whatever. But end of the day, it's just the score that matters, and everything else is just a detail to help you get that score. And so I like the idea because, you know, you're sitting in a sporting event. Everyone knows to look at the scoreboard and look at that one number. It's simple. You know who's winning, who's losing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that's basically the idea here. Mm-hmm. It's just people get lost in so many numbers. You could Google Analytics. You're like, oh, how much time are people spending on my site? Or, you know, which articles are they reading? Or, wow, they seem to be coming from iOS a lot. And you start paying attention to all these stats and all these things that are how many page views did I get or how much traffic did I get? And does it really matter at the end of the day? It's for me, it's paying customers, you know, how many paying customers are we getting a day?
I think more people should have that as their one metric, paying customers. If paying customers isn't your only metric, you got to ask yourself why.
I mean, you can dig into others. It's just the one that you care about is this one.
Exactly. Well, Dimitri, this has been awesome, man. Thanks again for coming on Growth Hacker TV and dropping all this knowledge on us.
Sure, no problem. It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.